Remember, put it on your calendars, Thursday, 4:30 p.m. at the Jacksonville Urban League. The first Thursday presents the Jacksport JSAB program, and it's, again, 4:30. Come on out if you want to talk about contracting. We've been talking about disparities and so forth. You can address them and talk to the person who can make a difference.
And next, and of course, don't forget, we're going to, coming up is Veterans Week.
Yes.
Okay, and so we're going to dedicate this segment to the African-American Vietnam vets.
Okay. All right. So that's a bet. Next Saturday, Veterans Week, we'll be back again. This is Praise 107.9, the Empowerment Hour. Dr. Richard Danford and Larry Williams, and we're out.
Trouble keep coming out nowhere. Doesn't have respect at all. Somebody going through it somewhere. Wonder what you're going to do. Wonder if you're going to make it. Wonder how long it'll take and when you ever get through. Can't see the light of day nowhere. The enemy tried to make you feel like pain on me. But you know, like I know, that trouble will never last. Yeah. So hold your head up high. God is on your side. And he loves you. And he cares. He's so faithful. Doesn't matter. What the problem? Go on. Work it. Yeah. Any type of situation, he work it. Yeah, tell me he got all go. Work it, work it, work it, work it, work it, work it. Come on, work it, work it, work it, work it, work it. Now, seem like everybody else doing so much better than you. Faith's got it all together, and you just trying to get through. Don't see no results. Not laughing, this is not a joke. Cause I'm telling you, if God don't come through something soon, it might just numb up. The enemy tried to make you feel like this of me. Yeah. But you know deep down that you gotta come out of this. Yeah. So hold your head up high. Work it, work it, work it, work it, work it. Whoa, work it, work it, work it, work it, work it. Yeah, yeah.
It's time for It's All About Literacy on Praise 107.9. The mission of It's All About Literacy is to provide high-quality, diverse, and accessible information and services to and for each individual listener that will enhance the quality of life for all people of all ages, cultures, and communities, regardless of their abilities or deficiencies. And now, here are Dr. Kathy and Sister Gail.
Good morning, and welcome to It's All About Literacy.
Good morning, good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and happy Saturday. We pray that you've had a wonderful week, and we know that you're, perhaps some of you are looking forward to the kickoff with the Florida-Georgia game.
Amen.
I understand that kickoff is at 3 o'clock, 3:30. Mm. But they're urging you to be at the stadium at 10.
Now?
It seems to me it may be a good thing to be now because of traffic. Mm. But that's literacy. Understanding where you need to be, when you need to be there.
And getting there is the application of literacy, right?
And the entire process is literacy.
Yeah.
Knowing what you know, when you need to know it. How to know it, how to apply it. Mm-hmm. Literacy. Mm-hmm. It's all about literacy. But we pray that you've had a wonderful week. And above all, we want to reach out to you and tell you thank you, thank you, thank you so much again and again and again for your support for our inaugural celebration.
Yes, yes.
It was a wonderful affair.
It was. I enjoyed it.
It was a wonderful affair. And for those of you who attend, we hope likewise that you also. And for those who you were unable to, just keep us in your prayers, and we look forward to having you there next year. We certainly want to reach out and tell Ms. Brenda Frinks with Sun City Events Entertainment. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yes.
She made all the difference. Auntie Roz.
Oh, yes.
Aunt Diva Moe, all of our authors, the musician, Jason Alexander.
Yes, did a superb job.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Pianist,
yes,
wonderful.
Yes, yes,
and, of course, Pastor Terry and Mrs. E. Trudy Dixon. I like that, E. Trudy Dixon. It was just really a wonderful, wonderful evening.
It was. There's something about you have to start. So right. That doing that first one, that beginning,
boy, was
is
it a start.
Important.
It was a start. And and while I'm telling you thank you, for those of you who may have experienced any kind of disappointment, please accept my most humble apologies. It was the first one. There was no baseline. There was no model.
Right,
there
right.
There was nothing.
That's
there,
the
there
importance
was no
of
plan.
That first.
Gives right.
You the baseline.
There was no
yes.
plan. I remember... having a conversation with my goddaughter, who is a mother, a real seasoned mother. But we were having a conversation about one of her children, and she says, well, Godmom, I know you told me, and I remember this, but remember, it's not written in a book. So we just
right.
have to remember what you said. I can't go back and read it. Excuses, but still. This is not an excuse for us.
Wait a minute. Why you say excuse? You're the one says it's as fascinating and as great as the mind is. It can only hold
one thought at a time. Absolutely.
So it's impossible to retain all of that when it's not in print that she can go back and say, what did Godmother say on this day, on this time?
That's called memory.
Right.
But you learn it.
Yes, but it's always good to be able to go back because you just
write
not going to hold it all.
You're absolutely right.
And a good thing is to, I think we should all always have pen and paper handy.
There we
for
are.
When thoughts and things come that we can jot them down.
Absolutely.
But often we don't. And I heard a minister say one time, God is not obligated to repeat himself. So you should have pen and paper to write down the things that he imparts. But how often do we do that?
And
that's we wake
a good
up from
thing.
A dream. Don't write it down when that good wisdom is imparted in our sleep.
And that's a good thing. And let me pause right here about the pen and paper.
Here comes this literacy moment.
Absolutely.
Y'all. Recognize it when it's about to happen. Get pen and paper.
Pen and paper is always well even students, when you're studying, you take your notes in school. If you go and study and you rewrite those notes, it will increase, endorse, emphasize, and really help sink that learning in.
Yep.
Because when you're writing something, mm-hmm. you're engaging both sides of your brain.
Come on now.
You're engaging the side that controls the writing, because you've got to reason what you're writing. And you're engaging the side that reasons what you're doing with the logic. So the brain is in total cooperation together. Now, with that, let me explain something. The brain, if you will, is a soft organ. If you can recall, when babies are born, they call it cradle, or the head is small and soft. That's what it is. As we age, our brain gets harder. One of the best illustrations that I can share with you is one that my uncle, who was a physician, shared with me as a kid. And that is, you think of the brain as soft concrete. When the concrete is being poured, after you've laid it, at some point you can write in it and it won't do anything. You write, you make a line, and it's going to soon go back together. It's too soft. That's infancy. As that concrete gets older, around 1 or 2 years old, not the year for the concrete, but the child. But as the concrete gets older, maybe around 2 or 3 hours, you can write in it, and it will hold that line, but it's still soft. As that concrete gets older, that line becomes harder. And then there becomes the day that you can't write in it anymore because it's too hard. That's what hardening of the arteries is. When we experience memory loss, when we experience dementia, and for those who are having the unfortunates of Alzheimer's, that concrete has become so hard that when something is put on it, it never sinks in. It's just on it. And the rain comes and the wind comes, and maybe even just a shower, and it washes it away. So there we have our brain. The memory is in that brain. The memory is the essence there. When something happens, it sinks into that concrete. It sinks into that brain. As we get hardening of the arteries and time passes, it gets harder. So things happen, don't sink in as deeply. They may rest close to the top or on the top. And then the day comes that they're only on the top. And something happens, and it just never goes in. And that's what happens with our brain. So with the pen and paper, you are exercising your brain. And remember, we've also shared with you, reading and writing does for the brain what the gym does for the body. Reading and writing is exercise for the brain. Reading and writing is exercise for the brain. I didn't say listening to music. Didn't say conversating. Didn't say running or rapping, reading and writing. Because as brilliant as the brain is, it can only hold one thought at a time. And if you think about it, even with reading and writing, you read what you're reading that you're going to write, and in a split of a second, your brain is now focused onto what you're writing. But when you're reading and writing, they're working simultaneously. They're working together. And there is always a wonderful result when you work together. And so it is. It's all about literacy. Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
Our guest today is Mrs. Michelle Croswell. The world knows her as Mickey Asia. What a wonderful name. That's really cute. She's going to tell us how we got that. I call her Dr. Mickey. She's one of the wonderful authors from last weekend, and she's here. She's the author of Memoirs of Women in Blue, The Good, The Silent, and The Good, The Bad, and No Longer Silent, and one of the many women of the stories that we choose to thrive, bearing in mind that October is Awareness Month. We are celebrating breast cancer. We're celebrating domestic violence. We're celebrating the month of the girl, World Teachers, International Library Month, the inaugural celebration of It's All About Literacy. Stay with us.
All About Kids Preschool and VPK Music Academy is now enrolling. All About Kids specializes in infant and toddler care, preschool, voluntary pre-kindergarten VPK, nutritional gardening, and VPK Music Academy, where your young person can learn to play the violin. All About Kids Preschool and VPK Music Academy accepts vouchers from Episcopal Children's Services, Early Learning Coalition, ELC, Success by Six, VPK, and Teen Parent. When children are exposed to music education at an early age, they excel in all subjects later in life. Give your child an early advantage. Stop by today. All About Kids is conveniently located at Pearl and 36th Streets. Come experience child care at its best. All About Kids Preschool and VPK Music Academy. Success by Six starts here at All About Kids. Call 353-2800. Qualify today for this 2-year free preschool program.
Just in case you didn't know.
Here's what you missed on the Willie Mo Jr. Show. Deal in the studio with me, Shirley Ralph.
What do you think about the current state of the country and our president?
Let me tell you one thing. If brothers speak up and out, you're mad at them. If brothers kneel, you're mad at them. We like to say the devil is a liar. Well, he's spreading a whole lot of fake news.
Flutter. Willie Moore Jr. is on your radio.
Ride home with the Willie Moore Jr. Show on Praise 107.9.
We're heading to the promised land. Don't let us get there before you.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
brand new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Morning, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us on this Florida Georgia weekend. Now let's return to It's All About Literacy with Dr. Kathy and Sister Gail, along with special guests from Praise 107.9. Ladies.
And welcome back. If you're just joining us today, we are here with one of our wonderful authors from our celebration, Mrs. Mickey C. Aisha. I love that name. Also known as Ms. Michelle Croswell. And she's our guest today. Good morning, Ms. Mickey.
Good morning, Dr. Vicki and Gail and everyone else in the radio station. I first want to just thank God for bringing me into your lives and re-exchanging with one another, because it's just wonderful. Thank God for being here. Thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to speaking to the family here, the Praise 107.9 family, about whatever it is that we're going to discuss today.
That's wonderful. And it's always all about literacy.
Absolutely.
As you can tell, it's always all about literacy. And you're such a renowned author. And it's not just these two books. There are two other books.
Yes.
The
first book that I wrote was called, it's an acronym, Drama Queen, but it means Don't Run Away, Make Away Queen.
Okay.
That book was about childhood abuse.
Right.
And the second book is called The Dominican Affair, What Every Woman Wants But Does Not Have.
No, that's the title. I wrote that down.
Say that again.
What Every Woman Wants.
And do expound.
Okay, I surely will. The Dominican Affair, What Every Woman Wants But Does Not Have. During that period of my life that I was writing that book, I actually was living in the Dominican Republic. I had lived there for quite some time. And there was this, in the story is a fantasy person, male. But it wasn't really a fantasy. It had been someone that I had been involved with that created in my mind the storyline. Yes. So the storyline in and of itself is about two women who are they're not monogamous. They're out there in the world doing things they shouldn't be doing. Mm. And eventually, and there is a God message, but it's also sexual connotations. There's no cussing in the book whatsoever. But these women are very promiscuous through their lifestyles, and then they meet these gentlemen that love them for who they are. God has blessed them with individual men in their lives that have helped them along the way, and they become monogamous in their relationships. And then we expound on just being in love. And I didn't finish I was supposed to have a second book to follow through with that, but We Choose to Thrive came along.
And it's coming.
It's not too late for
it's
the
coming.
Book.
It's absolutely still coming.
Not. It's absolutely not.
It's a sequel in the midst.
It's
a sequel in the midst.
It's
and
all
so
in the mind.
It is. And so at the inaugural celebration, I like that, among our authors, you had We Choose to Thrive and Women in Blue. Mm-hmm. And really, the mission of your, with this book right now, particularly The Women in Blue, in October, is because of domestic violence and teaching kids, not only kids, but adults as well. Mm-hmm. Because we've got to understand that domestic violence is not just physical. Mm-hmm. You know, violence is mental. Violence is social. Violence is emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, violence is a threat to your comfort. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be able to be strong enough to say, I'm not going to be violated. You know, I don't like to say that we are victims of whatever. When we're on the other side of it, we're the survivors of that. And if we have not experienced that, so we think we may not have. Trust me, you have. Mm-hmm. But if you're not mindful of how, then I would hope that you would simply be an advocate and a supporter for those persons who've gotten to the other side of that. Mm-hmm. And of course, as a former police officer,
yes,
who has had the better and the closer visual experience and awareness, if you will, of the domestic violence. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, let me tell you about the book, Memoirs of Women in Blue, The Good, the Bad, and No Longer Silent. I am one of two authors of that book. My co-author couldn't be here today. It was Miss Raven, better known as Ruth Segarra. She couldn't be here. But both of us, Raven came to me about 2 years ago. We used to work together in one specialized unit for a couple of years in New York City Police Department. We actually both obtained our detective shields from that particular unit. And then she went on to a different unit, and I went into another unit myself. She retired from NYPD. Unfortunately, I don't want to say unfortunately, God put me into another situation where I relocated to Florida in 1994 and did not retire. I went to another field of police municipalities. About 2.5 years ago, Raven came to me and said, and this is after there's been so many things going on in various communities nationwide. There had been some killings of people in the communities. There had been killings of police officers themselves. Raven said, you know what? We need to write a book on our memoirs. She said, how do you feel about writing this story? And I said, you know what? I think it's time. Even though it may have been, I left NYPD in 1994. I believe she retired in 2000. But yes, I said, you know what? I think it's a great idea. Let's do this. So life happens, as you were saying about expanding and using your brain and writing. As an author, and putting things on paper, journalizing is very important. But there are so many things that is in your memory that you don't realize that can be triggered by anything.
Right.
And why do I say that? In writing this book and many of my other books, when there's a trigger, something clicks. And sometimes you go through this emotional thing that, you know, you shut down for a while because of that emotion that you're putting into this book. And it's going to shut you down so that you can get yourself together to finish this book. God blesses us with different talents. And in this book, we expand, we expel, we talk about what it was like being females in a male-dominated organization, what it was like being officers in communities, sometimes in communities that didn't want us there. You know, so it comes from different forms, different walks, and we talk about different things. But our main goal now today with this book, as you mentioned, domestic violence, well, abuse, and that's part of violence, abuse, domestic violence is abuse. Abuse has no race, creed, national origin, color, sex, gender, anything.
No age.
Exactly, age. It can affect everyone. And so it's imperative, important that we discuss, especially on this line with being policing, do we discuss policing in our communities? We discuss with the people in the communities on what they should and should not do when they are stopped by law enforcement officers. You know, and that's very important because that can save a life.
Please expound upon that, because at the dinner we had that Friday when you were talking and you were saying that there are things that our young men should automatically know if they are stopped by a police officer, things they should automatically do. Please talk about that.
Yes, definitely. And I won't just gear that for just young men, but in our communities now, there are a lot of persons who are aggravated or agitated because of past histories of things that have happened. What I'd like to say is, when anyone is stopped by law enforcement, first of all, you have to keep in mind that law enforcement officer doesn't know who he's stopping. From what I recall, car stops are one of the most dangerous situations that law enforcement is involved with. But when you're stopping and you're stopped by a law enforcement officer, the first things that you do want to do is when that officer is walking up to you, you want to have your hands on the dashboard, palms up, and you want to make sure that your hands are visible so that officer can see that you have nothing in your hand.
Okay.
When the author comes, when the police officer comes to your window, they usually will say, they may tell you why they're stopping you. They will ask you for your license, registration, and insurance card. You know, again, keep in mind it's been several decades, about a decade and a half since I've been an officer, and things have just, they have changed. So many new things now. So they will come and ask you for these items, and they're going to, if depending on what time of the day, they'll use the flashlight or they're going to utilize whatever they have. And some of them may have their hands on their gun, unfortunately. Some may. But you always want to keep your hands where you, it's visible.
Absolutely.
So when that officer asks for whatever it is, you want to be polite. I know you may be upset.
Come on.
You may be angered at whatever the fact you're in the rush. And what are these officers stopping me for? But that is not the time to be challenging.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you said bring all that
pin,
down.
Yes. And let's put a period right there.
Yes.
Let's put a period right there. Because discipline is everything.
Absolutely.
Everything.
Absolutely.
And discipline, excuse me. Discipline is a learned behavior.
Yes.
And in order for it to be learned, it must be taught.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, our generation and the generations before us,
yes,
they may not have known the price of things, but they knew the value of it all.
Right, Doc.
Okay? they knew the value.
Yes.
They knew the value. Whereas they did not have an education, as we have. Some of them did, but they did not have it. It was not as readily provided, but they knew the value of it. They were not able to pay the tuition as we pay today, but they did what was necessary to provide education. Discipline was even that. Mm-hmm. That's literacy. Mm-hmm. Because you got to have the discipline to know that I've got to learn this. I've got to teach my children this. So I've got to do this. I can't spend this money because you got to have this money for school. Mm-hmm. I've got to do this. It's all about discipline. So in your home, and you're raising the children, and even if they are not taught that, at some point we have to assume responsibility for ourselves. We got to assume responsibility for yourselves. So you've got to know, and you've got to respect authority.
Absolutely.
Yes, you do.
Respect authority. Yeah, and it doesn't matter who it is and where it comes from. You know,
yes.
Has nothing to do with who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, no one's challenging you, boo-boo. All right? Mm-hmm. You're all of that. But right now, when the police come to your door, it ain't you. Yeah. And we'll be back. It's all about literacy.
Want to be happy? Then you found a spot.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Show me your face, fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid. Fill me with you. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face, fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid.
Show me your face,
this space.
The world needs
my world needs you right now. My world needs you right now.
Storms may come, but when we call your name, all things change. Kingdoms fall, one thing forever reigns.
Ready. 20 minutes before the hour. So nice having you with us here on It's All About Literacy from Praise 107.9. Once again, we welcome Dr. Kathy, Sister Gail, and special guest.
And welcome back with us. Now, I left you with a cliffhanger, deliberately so. The officer comes to your car or walks up to you, and we're talking about authority. We're talking about discipline. I would be the first to agree with you that you're not always approached in a most respectful manner. I will be the first to say that they challenge, that you're challenged, and sometimes even threatened. And just as our guest, Dr. Mickey, I call her, stated, they have their hands on their guns sometimes. Even though you should have your hands visible, they would have their hand on their gun. And so you're going to feel threatened. I clearly understand that. It does not make it right. They are not right to do that to you. But that's a time that you have to then still be mindful that you're not the powerful one right here. And sometimes humility is really the most powerful factor. And that's when your humility will run that challenge away. Mm-hmm. Because it's very hard. It's very difficult, very challenging for someone to be very mean to you when you're being kind. But the results of it is you're not being caught up in the web. Because the fact that they're the police, the fact that they're the ones in authority, they can do whatever they want to do. It's just like being the teacher in the classroom. I got the pen. Mm-hmm. You know? And that was your message, right?
Yes. Being in law enforcement, we took an oath to protect and serve all of the constituents in the various communities that we serve at. Most of the officers, I do believe, are good officers. But you have good and bad in everything, in every walk of life. Yes. Now, as Doctor was saying, in the situation where you are approached by an officer for whatever the reasons, humility is definitely the point. Discipline is definitely the point. You must abide and obey. Whatever the officer is telling you at that given time, do not challenge him or her. You go along with what is being stated. You say, yes, sir, no, sir, how can I be of assistance, ma'am or sir, and let them lead, and they will tell you what the situation is. Will they always be at their best? No. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that you should always be at your best,
right,
so that you can walk away from the situation. And if there is any problems that arises during that situation, be observant, be articulate, be again, disciplined. And then you'll have that opportunity to walk away, but you will keep in mind, observe the names of the officer. There's always a shield. If there's a radio car with a number, always get the plate number. Just be observant to your surroundings, so you can walk away with this unscathed, unscaled. You may get a summons if it's a car stop. Okay, some of you may call it tickets. We call them summons. You may get that. So, but at least you get to walk away, and then you can challenge that summons, and you can challenge the officer in the courts. But if you become verbally aggressive, that will only lead you to a lockup, being arrested unnecessarily. So I say this with no malice. I say this with all love in my heart. Please abide by whatever's being stated at that moment by the officer. Because again, keep in mind, that officer does not know you. He doesn't know anything about you. He's coming up. He or she, I'm sorry for just saying he. He or she is coming to your vehicle, coming to you, not knowing who you are, what you have on you. So they have to, they are trained to perform in a certain way. So.
And I'm sure even though there are the police officers, as you mentioned, they don't know who they're stopping.
Absolutely.
So, you know, with all of their mightiness, if you will, there has to be some apprehensions with them as well.
Absolutely.
And there's this saying, he who walks away from a fight will live to fight again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so,
wisdom.
So that's literacy. Mm-hmm. So, and you pick your battles.
Absolutely.
And that's not one of your battles. Discipline is something for everybody, regardless of what side of the equation you're on. But if you're not in that seat of authority, that's not your battle.
Mm-hmm.
And our young people are really, unfortunately, are pretty much learning it as they go. We had our teachers to teach us, or even to put the fear of God in us, you know? I mean, when they said, I'll knock you in the middle of next week, we believe that. And it's because of those teachings, you know, they rule from the grave because of the discipline that's been within us. But there is no discipline now, and no one knows fear anymore. You know, fear used to be really fear. But life is not even valued as much as it is. I mean, I can remember growing up and literally afraid of a gun. That kids now are, it's no problem. They pick it up and hold it. No real big deal. It starts in the home, as we were saying earlier, and it transcends, and it goes over. It spills into the classroom. It spills into the everyday lives. And your memoirs are your memoirs.
Absolutely.
They're your memories. Mm-hmm. Mine or mine, they're all personal, but yet they all connect. Mm-hmm. And what we have to do is put ourselves in positions so that we won't have the bad memoirs, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're doing such a wonderful job. This is a really good book. I urge everyone to please the Memoirs of Women in Blue, as well as We Choose to Thrive. Those books are on the shelves in Barnes & Noble and at Amazon.
Okay, they're not in the brick-and-mortar stores. Okay. You can find it on Amazon.com. Again, you can go, and we also have a Facebook page under Women in Blue. And if you just Google Mickey Ciesia, you will find all of the books under that on Amazon as well as Barnes & Nobles.
Right.
Please, and if you do read the book, we ask that you do a review, whether you liked it or not. We do thrive off constructive criticism. We grow from that, so please.
Now let's talk about the domestic violence. You know, being that this is the Awareness Month of Domestic Violence, you know, there's so much awareness for this month. We almost need a month for awareness, just awareness,
well,
awareness month.
You know, there's multiple things for every month.
Yes, absolutely. That's why I say we just need a month to be aware, mm-hmm. you know. It's just a month to be aware.
Is.
But the thing is, we need to go beyond the steps of being aware, because we get caught with awareness. That after we become aware, that becomes the action, and many times we don't get to that part. You know, we are aware of breast cancer, and we support it by going to the walks, and we give the dollars, and we wear the pink, and you know, and we may go and get a mammogram, but we weren't going to think about it anymore until next year this time. Mm-hmm. You know, the domestic violence. The library month, whatever is going on at that time of the awareness, which is great, but let's move beyond the awareness and put some actions there.
We give actions. It just needs to be prolonged action.
Consistency
and
is the word.
And positive.
Is what it is. Yeah.
Let's
transition for a moment. We choose to thrive. Let's talk about this one.
We choose to thrive. That book is a conglomeration of 31 women internationally. Okay. We all have a common thread. Mm-hmm. Our publisher, her name is Becky Norwood. She is a number one bestseller. She wrote a book called The Woman I Love. And then she reached out to other women to engage them in this new book, We Choose to Thrive. So in that book, we do a brief synopsis. Again, we have a common thread, which is at some point we were all abused some kind of way.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about lawyers, doctors, models. We have some of the top-notch people in society that has written in this book, have written their little short brief synopsis. But we don't just dwell on the abuse factor. Mm-hmm. We dwell on, look, what didn't kill us made us stronger.
Absolutely.
You understand? And we are thriving, productive citizens in society in spite of what may have happened to us in the past. Because if you dwell on your past and don't grow through that, you will stay stagnant. Mm-hmm. And because of that book, there is now a sequel to that book.
Okay.
We also have a Re-Choose to Thrive, a YouTube page where you can see each and every one of the interviews by each one of the women.
Okay.
We also have the Woman I Love Facebook page. We've had many women, children, and men reading, joining that page, and have been able, they have been abused, and they are able to, in this closed area, talk about what has happened to them. And they're growing through it. And we're lobsters, the women that have already told their stories. We're helping them through and say, yes, you can do this.
And that's just so wonderful, because, you know, you'd be surprised of the number of men and women, older and elderly folk. I mean, we have folk who are in their 70s who are living with hidden and submerged abuse.
Absolutely.
And it's come from mothers and fathers and
from everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And they come from people that we love, or we don't want folk to know that our mothers did this to us, and we're gonna protect them, and mm-hmm. and we're, you know, it's like when they die, they just, you know, we just put them in heaven when they die. You mm-hmm. understand?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality and the truth is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to admit that you've been offended, that you've been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out, you know, and like you said, don't stay stagnated there.
Each person has to choose when they are ready to come out and talk about it, if they are ready
right.
to come out of that shell, because abuse, again, it's a point that people just become so fearful that they can't discuss it. They feel that they're going through this alone.
And you're right. You're right. And that's a good point. Yeah, that's really a good point. Mm-hmm. Many times people are not ready, and there's no one to usher them to that point or to give them the comfort to that point. And they never get ready.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, too, that sometimes these stories are important because sometimes people don't even know that they are being abused. Like, we had someone who had gone through sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. But it was the norm in her home, and it had been happening since she was a baby. Mm-hmm. So for her, I mean,
that is the norm.
Right, yeah. It's the norm. You mm-hmm. don't know that it is abuse. So by telling these stories and these people are sharing different types of abuse, it does make it aware, you know, brings an awareness. Mm-hmm. And then it also says, and this is how I got out. So mm-hmm. very good.
It's really good. I like the fact when we had our dinner, and we're going to help you with providing the platform because it's all about literacy.
Absolutely.
It's all about literacy, and we want your listeners, if you will, to stay tuned because we're going to be launching a reading campaign, mm-hmm. and it's going to be these kinds of materials that you will read, which means you're reading, but at the same time, you're learning something.
Absolutely. And engaging.
And engaging. And it's giving some action here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The purpose of your mission, because I know you're from, as you call it, an island hopper. You go from Dominican Republic to Jamaica. You got, you know, you're taking your mission, mm-hmm. which is really wonderful. Like, it's getting out there. Mm-hmm. And it's so needed now, especially now in our schools, mm-hmm. because students are challenging teachers, administrators. You know, teachers are actually afraid to teach. Mm-hmm. They really want to teach, and that's really sad. You know, it really is, because what happens, the student ends up being the one to lose.
Well, can I say this? I and my co-author, we welcome, we actually want to go into the churches. We want to go into the schools. We want to go into the community centers. We want to have these open lines of dialogue about what we need to do in our communities to get better policing, as well as we invite the hierarchies in the police departments to come out and be with the people in the community to work on and bettering the policing in our communities.
Right,
so the opening the lines of dialogue, the communication, starting with allowing us to come into the schools, churches, community centers, we are open for that. So you can reach out to us. My email address is mickeydcroswell@gmail.com. Again, that's Mickey, MickeyDCroswell@gmail.com. I'd be more than willing and happy to address and assess if you're interested. The telephone number that you could reach me at would be 240-482-9458. Call me and we can set something up.
Okay? And, of course, if you're listening and you'd like to, just call into the station anytime, 296-2251, 296-2251. Mickey C, and that is S-E-E, not the letter C.
Right.
Mickey C. Asia. How we get that name, Miss Mickey?
Well, that's a good question. When I was young, my mother used to call me Mickey, or they used to call me Shelley. So they used to call me Mickey. And then as going through the tweens and the teenagers, in New York, they used to have a group called the 5%. I don't know if you know anything about them. Well, that name was given, to me by, at that time, my son's father, C. Asia. And my family loved that name, and so did I. So I kept that name for quite some time.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah. How original.
Yes.
Mickey C. Asia. That's cute. Mm-hmm. Mickey S-E-E-A-S-I-A.
Right.
That's great. Please call us here if you'd like to incorporate information from our author, Ms. Mickey C. Asia, 296-2251. Because it's really important that we do create a dialogue. There's just so much tension out there.
Yes.
There's so much tension out there. Mm-hmm. And sadly, in our schools. Mm-hmm. We've had a local situation here in our public schools that is just really saddening to my heart. Mm-hmm. And the parents are the most powerful factor in that equation. When we used to have child study team meeting for the IEPs, and I'm a former ESC classroom teacher, and it's my passion still, I would empower those parents before the meetings and let them know you're the most powerful person at that table. And the power and the parent is still the most powerful one. Now, does that mean that the parent can go in the classroom and take over?
No.
No. But if the parent would work with that teacher, that's going to help. Mm-hmm. Because now there are times that the teacher has to call on the parent to come and, you know, discipline your child. Mm-hmm. Because the days of the teachers and the principals doing that are over. That's mm-hmm. another subject. Mm-hmm. But when a teacher calls a parent about a discipline a child, some parents are receptive, and that's wonderful. But then you have some parents, well, why are you doing this to my child? You know, which only really complicates the problem. Mm-hmm. And what it does, it empowers this undisciplined child.
Yes, it does.
Yes. Mm. And then you wonder who's living with whom. Mm. Okay?
It reinforces the bad behavior.
Absolutely. And you know right away who's in charge at home. Mm-hmm. And that also creates abuse. Because we have some parents that are abused by their children. Now, of course, my mother will never be one of those persons.
Neither would I.
You know? but those things happen. Mm-hmm. Those things happen. There are consequences for your decisions. So if you choose not to take control of your child when the concrete is soft, that concrete is going to get hard.
Oh yeah.
And once you lose control, you don't get it back.
You do. Yes, we there are sometimes you look at students just like, babe, if your mama had just bent that sap when it was young. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I tell my students sometimes, I just look at them and laugh. I say, baby, if you had only grown up with Lily James,
and my house
right here would be so much easier.
And in my house, it's like, oh, well, everybody couldn't grow up in the little greenhouse on the corner where I grew up, you know? Mm. But the scriptures tells you to not only have children in your youth. I really understand it. But it also tells you to bend the sap while it's young, you know? Mm. And we as parents have a responsibility. We have a responsibility because the scriptures also tells you that it is our duty to prepare and save for the children. It is not their duty to prepare and save for us. But if you raise them right, they'll reciprocate. Mm-hmm. The Bible says train up a child in the way that it should go.
Absolutely.
So if you raise it right, it'll give it back to you. Mm-hmm. It is not that child's duty to grow up and get a job and take care of you because you've taken care of it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. But then the scriptures tell you that. It is for the parent to save and prepare for the child. I believe that's 2 Corinthians 12:7 someplace. My grandmother used to read it enough. But
whether it is or not, it just makes good